Welcome once again to Landmarks for Living. This is Richard Melson, evangelist at the Needmore Road Church of Christ. This is a radio ministry where every listener is encouraged to not only read, but study their Bible daily. According to Acts chapter 17 and verse number 11, God is indeed concerned what you think. God is indeed concerned what you do. Today is December the 28th, 2025. This is the last broadcast of 2025 of Landmarks for Living. We hope that your Christmas was a good and safe one. Please check out our website at www.needmoreroadcoc.com. Past broadcasts of Landmarks for Living are archived at our website. Past issues of the Edifier newsletter are available for your download. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel. We really would appreciate that. You just need to subscribe one time. Also, if you are able to, we would greatly love to have you to visit with us on Sundays at 2211 Needmore Road. The only way you can worship with us is to assemble with us in the facility. Bible study, 9:30 a.m. Worship service at 10:30 a.m. And we assemble again at 5 p.m. We'll meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. And yes, we'll be meeting this Wednesday, December 31st, Lord willing, at 7 p.m. I appreciate everyone who listens to Landmarks for Living each Sunday morning on 98.7 FM or WGNZ AM 1110 and FM 104.3. You may also listen to us by streaming online at thesoulofdayton.com or WGNZ.com. Friends, since the start of this program, the emphasis has not changed. It is to teach only that which is authorized by God in the Bible. If you have a Bible question about anything that is taught during our broadcast, please write to us so that we can supply a Bible answer to your Bible question. You may write to us at Landmarks for Living, care of the Needmore Road Church of Christ, 2211 Needmore Road, Dayton, Ohio, 45414, or email me at dr.rdmelson@nmrcoc.com. Beloved, the Bible is the only approved standard for authority today in all matters of morality, ethics, and religion, according to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. Therefore, do not move nor remove the divine landmarks. We dare not step outside the sphere of divine authority and then try to pretend we are walking by faith. For faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17. Keep this in mind, that the way we treat the scriptures, the Bible, God's word, is the way that we treat the Lord. Dayton, are you listening? I hope that you have learned from our earlier studies the scriptures are the complete, sufficient, error-free source of truth. As such, Jehovah issued forth warnings in both the Old and the New Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2, and Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19, not to add to or to take away from his word. The word of God. God's word is all the truth necessary for the genuine spiritual life, and it completely meets all the spiritual needs of mankind. Dayton, are you listening? You know, we have been talking about the biblical view of obedience and why obedience is so important. And we hope that during the last few weeks that you have been listening to the subject of obedience and what obedience is, that it has profited you as you've studied God's word with us. As we said, this is the last Landmarks for Living for 2025. I thank God for the blessings that He has given us, blessing us with the opportunity to deliver these broadcasts. I thank every member of the Lord's church who helped to make this broadcast possible to everyone who is listening. And I thank you, the listener, for tuning in each week and for sending comments and giving comments regarding Landmarks for Living. Every person who listens to Landmarks for Living is faced with and is dealing with something. Every one of us is dealing with a problem of some sort. Every person who is listening to Landmarks for Living is looking for answers to various questions. Now, you know, one of the things that I have heard and I've observed, not only in our area, as I travel, as I go about, as I talk to people, and then we observe this as we listen to others, and that is that individuals are concerned with what the world calls prosperity. And there is a biblical view of prosperity that we hope to look at today. But the scriptures do not teach that God's people will have all of the wealth, all of the worldly power, and will be without any problems in this life. Rather, as we look at the word of God, we would observe just the opposite. Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount that he pronounces a blessing on those who are persecuted for his sake. You remember in the latter part of the Beatitudes, Jesus said, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Then Jesus, in the same sermon, made this observation in chapter 6. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then we would be remiss if we did not remind ourselves of this fundamental passage that Paul penned to Timothy, his son in the gospel, when he says, yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And so we realize that in this world, in this life, prosperity is not about physical stuff, but it is about doing that which God commands. It's about living holy before God. Many are confused about the idea of prosperity. You know, there are those who say that they want prosperity. There are those who say that they want to prosper. But do they really understand what it is they are saying? And are they willing to do so and in the manner in which God has provided for us? You know, John makes this observation in the third epistle of John. We're going to look at it. We'll start at verse 1 and we'll read to verse 2 to get the context. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health. Now, it would be one thing if God had left the instruction or had left it off right there. But the Holy Spirit didn't leave it there. He continues and says, just, here's the qualifier, just as your soul prospers. And so the primary component of prosperity has to do with the soul prospering. And John says, look, I hope that, you know, your physical life is growing, that it benefits just as your soul is. We're going to come back to 3 John verse 2. Dayton, are you listening? So there are several questions that we need to ask. What is prosperity? What does this term mean? We need to also ask ourselves the question, does prosperity equal success? What role does choice, what role does my choice or my decisions have in prosperity or in my prosperity? What is my responsibility to obtaining prosperity? Is prosperity only a material quality? Those are some very important questions. Dayton, are you listening? Now, we don't have time to address each and every one of those, but I hope that by observing from one or two key passages in the Word of God, that we can obtain an answer to those questions. And maybe it is that as we close out 2025 with a discussion on what is biblical prosperity, that we'll open up the, if it is the Lord's will, we'll open up 2026 with a further discussion of what is biblical prosperity and what it is not. Dayton, are you listening? Now, I need to put, I'm going to go ahead and lay this out there right up front. There is, in the religious world, a false teaching that asserts that through positive thoughts, positive declarations, and financial donations to a particular religious group, that this will draw health, wealth, and happiness into the believers' lives. However, the Bible does not teach this. The so-called health and wealth gospel, the so-called prosperity gospel, the so-called name it and claim it gospel, these are all false. Let me repeat that. The so-called health and wealth gospel, the so-called prosperity gospel, the so-called name it and claim it gospel, these are all false. You know, I hear too many people saying, oh, I've named it. Or they'll talk to you and they'll say, well, all you got to do is claim it. Well, what does that mean, claim it? Well, I know what they mean by it, but the Word of God does not teach this. And in essence, what they're saying, well, if you don't claim it, you don't have any faith. But what about all of the people who have faith, who have been obedient to the faith, Acts 6 and verse 7? You see, this false doctrine would say, well, you people are wrong. Friends, God is concerned about the most precious, the most valuable possession which you have, and that is your soul. Jesus said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world? If prosperity was strictly material based, then think about what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where men can come in and rob and steal, where it can be, where moths can come and where rust can attack it. If it's all about material things, then the Lord was wrong. God is concerned about that which goes into eternity. The material stuff, all of the elements of this world, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, there will come a time when these things are going to be destroyed. They don't go into eternity. Unlike how the many people in various religions of time past and even today think that they can take it with them, Individuals have built monuments to themselves and put their stuff in it so that when they would wake up, they'd say in the next life, they'd have their creature comforts. There are modern day Egyptians in with us today. And so we build mausoleums and we put things in them so that they think that they'll have them in the next life. Now, you know what? I enjoy fishing. I have my favorite catfish pole. I have my favorite crappie pole. And, and I have my favorite bass pole. But I do not anticipate having any need for my cat daddy pole after death. I do not anticipate that in eternity I'm going to have any need for those poles. And so there would be no value for if I die before my wife, if I die before my children, it would be of no value for them for them putting those things in a casket, because, well, I won't have any further need for them. It would be better for my son or my daughters or my grandchildren to go ahead and use those poles after my death for their own time of fishing. You see, God wants us to make proper preparations now for eternity. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. The prosperity that we need has nothing to do necessarily with material things. What does the word prosperity even mean? Dayton, are you listening? Well, you know, it is interesting, and part of the problem comes from how people understand words, because words, how we communicate, and they have meanings. And so in looking at the Oxford Dictionary of American Language, the word prosperity as a noun means being prosperous, okay? So I need to then look at the next word. So if that's what the dictionary says, prosperity in the English language means, it means being prosperous. Well, then we need to look at the next. Or what does prosperous, the adjective, mean? And I was not surprised at how the dictionary defined it, and it immediately said financially successful. So now I understand why people are confused when they talk about prosperity, because the English language is immediately directing you to material things. And then the verb prosper in the English language, to be successful, to thrive. Now that is interesting. And so children, adults are looking at the word, and their view is, oh, prosperity has to do with my financial success. It has to do with how much money I have. It has to do with how many assets that I possess. Well, I don't believe, and I know for a fact that as you look at this word in the Bible, that is not all that is involved with the word prosperity. Now, it can carry with it that meaning. The context will tell you what that word means. The word prosperity comes from several different words in both the Old and the New Testament, but one can observe clearly that the word doesn't necessarily mean all of those things in the Bible. As a matter of fact, there are some things that God tells us, very clearly tells his people with regards to prosperity, that they are not to follow through on. For instance, the first place where the word prosperity appears in the Bible is Deuteronomy 23 and verse 6, and it's a negative observation. Moses is telling the children of Israel that when they go into the promised land, he says, thou shalt not seek their peace nor their prosperity all thy days forever. So Moses is telling the children of Israel that when they go into the promised land, they are not to seek the welfare or the prosperity, the worldly successes of the people in the land. Oh, they were to make clear, they were to make careful that they were not to have these kinds of relationships with that which was contrary to God's will. And I want you to note that, Deuteronomy 23 and verse 6, in your studies. Here's another example of how the Old Testament uses the word prosperity. And in this particular passage, it's the same Hebrew word that is used in Deuteronomy 23 and verse 6, in 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 7, where it speaks about how King Solomon was blessed by God. And we know that Solomon was blessed with both physical blessings as well as with spiritual blessings. And the queen of the East, she had heard about all of the great wisdom that Solomon had and all of the various and the physical blessing. And so as she came, it says this, 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse number 7, "Albeit I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard." And so there the word prosperity does carry with it all of the financial and the physical stuff that Solomon had. And she was able to see his success and his prosperity. But then there is another term that is a Hebrew term that is translated prosperity. And it is found in Psalm 118. Well, before we get to that one, again, notice a negative use in Psalm 73 and verse 3, where David says, "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." You know, envy is a dangerous thing. And so David says, look, there was a time when I wasn't thinking right, and I became envious of the prosperity, the success, and successes of the wicked. Oh, we have to be careful that we don't look at I'm using air quotes, we don't look at the things that the evil person has obtained in this world and become envious of them. Because that leads us down a very difficult and dark and ungodly path. What does prosperity mean? What is biblical prosperity? In Psalm 118, in verse number 25, and we'll probably just get a chance to get started here, and we most certainly will have to pick up with this, if it is the Lord's will, our next broadcast. Psalm 118 and verse 25. "Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. I beseech thee, send now prosperity." Psalm 118 and verse number 25. So, of course, this is an important context. It starts off, the 118th Psalm starts off, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endures forever." And throughout this psalm, the psalmist is calling for praise to be sent to given to Almighty God for his everlasting mercy. It is a messianic psalm because it talks about the coming of Jehovah. And in the immediate context, he makes it clear. He says, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day in which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." This is talking about what God is going to do in sending the Messiah. He will be crucified. He will be buried. He will be raised from the dead. And this will be wonderful because it's God making salvation available for all mankind. And it's in that context that then the psalmist says in verse 25, save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Well, he's not talking about send a bunch of money. He's not talking about send gold. He's not talking about send all kinds of physical things. No, that is not what is being referred to. This is a different word. Give success. Be favorable is what the psalmist is talking about when he emphasizes, when he asks for prosperity. No, this is not what he's saying. You know, often, as I said, men tend to think of prosperity as solely material gain. And although it might include material blessings, the extent of true prosperity goes far beyond anything this world might be able to offer. Think about what we started in third John verse 2, where John prayed that his friend Gaius might prosper and be in health just as his soul prospers. You know, David's rule never brought the kingdom to the material prominence that it later achieved under the rule of Solomon. But we confidently affirm that the kingdom was far from more prosperous under the rule of this man after God's heart than that of his son Solomon. You know, David wants us to have prosperity. Now, we want you to put a bookmark there because of time. And I realize that because of what the world says and because of so much of our emphasis upon physical things, that so many people focus daily on physical success. If they focus on the physical things of this life, but remember, sin is the problem for everyone, and that there are consequences which we face, and God has provided the means so that our soul might prosper, and that prosperity is found only in Christ. Dayton, are you listening? Beloved, it does matter what you think. Beloved, it does matter how you think. God provides the means for your spiritual prosperity. Faith in Jesus, repentance of one's sin, making the confession that one believes that Jesus is the Christ, and then surrendering to water immersion for the remission of sins. And you can receive the blessings that God has. Not that you're going to get a wealth of money, but you will have the greatest blessing of all, forgiveness of sin, and that all spiritual blessings in heavenly places are in Christ. Dayton, I hope you have been listening.